going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You may have great kids, and they may be especially good when they're around you. But how are they when you're not around? Do you trust that they will behave, especially if they're home alone? Well, tonight we're looking at the modern latchkey kids. My guests are Charlotte Avery. She's a mom strategist and the mother of seven children, and Dr. Marilyn McPherson Corder. She is a pediatrician and professor at the Howard University School of Medicine. Ladies, thanks so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before I get to my questions, we have some home alone disasters that we're going to be sharing with you throughout this program. Here is the first one.
My mom told me to turn the oven on, but at 13, I wasn't aware that you always needed to check the oven. And there was a glass pan in the oven. And when I turned it on, about 30 minutes later, it exploded.
My sister and I were left home alone, and we decided to call my mom, but she didn't pick up the phone. But we didn't realize that we were actually calling her supervisor. And we were upset that she didn't pick up the phone, and we decided to say some not-so-friendly words.
I, unfortunately, played with firecrackers when I wasn't supposed to and lit the firecracker up and was afraid once it started sparkling and shining and popping, and I threw it into a mattress, and the mattress went ablaze.
That's enough to scare just about anyone. And after hearing that, Charlotte, can we even begin to think about leaving our children home alone?
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, I think you can. You can definitely think about it, and you can consider it. But I definitely think that, you know, age matters. It matters how old your children are when you decide, you know, what's an appropriate age to leave your children home alone.
And that's the interesting point. Dr. McPherson Corder, do you know how young you have to be, or what's the minimum age in Maryland to leave your child alone?
Well, the minimum age is 12, but I also want to say, Harold, you need to know your child.
It's actually 8.
Oh.
How about that? Hey. In the state of Maryland, 8 years old. It may vary from state to state,
right.
But I looked it up. Legally, you can leave a child alone at 8 years old. To me, mm-hmm. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's so, to me, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, because I know with the Academy of Pediatrics, 12 years old is where you say that they'd be responsible unsupervised.
Mm-hmm. Right.
8 years old, a lot can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that said, what kind of things would you tell your patients, for example, as it relates to make a determination as to if the child is responsible?
Well, and I talk about that all the time. Now, we're into summer, and what I tend to do even prior to the summertime, you know, I say, if you're going to not be able to send a child to camp or send a child wherever, make sure you're aware of what's going on and test the child. I say trust but verify. When the child's home alone, you need to call in. You need to have things for them to do. You mm-hmm. need to check. And you need to have a security system to make sure that you'll be able to visualize the going on. And, you know, we were all young once, but it's so much different, a latchkey kid in the 60s when I was growing up versus, I told my age, versus now. Social media wasn't around. We had the dial phone, you know, we didn't have mm-hmm. the cell phones in the Texas. So everything is in your house, even if your child is alone, in terms of the environment. So it's very important to check on your child, mm-hmm. to make sure that you know the maturity and what he or she can and will do from knowing your child, even as a latchkey kid coming home after school.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. You know, so I have, I kind of have four R's for latchkey kids. And one of these R's is the reason. What is the reason why your child is at home by themselves? You know, you have to know the reason, but they have to know the reason why they're home by themselves too. The next thing is the relationship that you have with your child. You know, you have, like, our wonderful doctor just said here, you know, you have to know your child. You have to have a relationship with them. You have to know what their capabilities are. If you don't know those things, then you can't leave your child at home. The next thing I have is rules. Your kids have to have rules. You have to give your kids rules and boundaries. You know, for some of the commentary that happened that we, the stories that we heard about, you know, the oven and fire starting and things like that, are your children, are they capable of cooking? You know, are they allowed to touch the oven? Are they allowed to touch the toaster? You know, are you going to already have pre-made meals for them where they don't have to touch anything electric, you know, at home except a light switch or something like that, you know? Because if you're, if you haven't even stood in the kitchen and taught your children the rules and the regulations and the boundaries of the kitchen, then you should not, you know, be letting them cook in the kitchen anyway.
Hold on 1 second, Charlotte. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about modern latchkey kids home alone. How do you know that you can trust that your children are going to be safe when they are home alone? If you have some thoughts that you want to share with us about being a latchkey kid, about what you're doing if you have latchkey kids at home, some mistakes perhaps that you've made, I'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Go ahead, quickly finish your point, Charlotte.
Oh, and then the last thing, you know, that we talked about, you know, is the trust, the reliance. You know, you have to be able to set up things where you can trust your children and they can show you that they're trustworthy. You know, them relying on you, you being able to rely on them, you know, them calling you and checking in. It's not just you calling and checking in on them, but setting times, you know, like if your kids get home from, like, especially, you know, when your kids are in school, if your child is supposed to be home by 2:45, then your child needs to get home and call you by 2:45. You know, if it's the summertime, which we're in now, and you're at work and you've sent your kids to the pool or, you know, what have you, then it's have check-in times with them and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And then, you know, now in the day and age of technology where we have smartphones and we're able to, you know, do hangouts and FaceTime and things like that, you can FaceTime with your kids in this day and age that we live in now and make sure that they're answering and make sure and so you can physically see that they are okay.
Dr. Corder, here's my question, because you see a lot of kids. You could have the most responsible child in the world, and yet there are things where they're going to just mess up on. And I'm not talking about being malicious, but what are the things that parents should watch out for, even if you have a quote-unquote good kid?
Right. And, you know, there's something called psychological development in terms of what we expect of our children at certain ages. Mm-hmm. We're going to mess up. We're human. We all been there. But you want to make sure, number one, that how they respond in a case of an emergency, some basic things. You want to go over scenarios. I call it home drills in terms of when somebody, of course, knocking on the door or if they smell smoke or who can they call? Who is the backup person in the neighborhood? Of course, we had the whole village. But, you know, if there's a backup, it's a phone number, a phone call, what to do, where to run to, et cetera. And that's important. Yes, they're going to mess up. They're going to, and one of the things as Charlotte said, and I'm sitting here saying, yes, we want them to do their best and be responsible. And as they do right, we should give them incentives to do right, to say, you know, this was great, you did well, to give them that I know I can do and that you're pleased with them. When they mess up, we're human, to say, okay, you didn't do this, but guess what? And a reminder to say, then let's try again today so that they know that you are still giving them opportunities to do what they need to do. Because it's a dangerous situation each and every day if a child is home alone, depending upon what they encounter from day to day, from smelling smoke to someone knocking on the door to someone outside the house that they shouldn't be outside, or the dog barking, you know, and they don't know why the dog is barking. So it's frightening.
Yeah, it can be. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Home alone, do you trust your latchkey kids? We're talking about modern latchkey kids and what you need to know to make sure that they stay safe and you have peace of mind while they are at home. Let's go to Garner calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Garner. What's on your mind?
We have an 8-year-old son, Both me and my my wife are very responsible parents. We try to go over different things that could happen. Mm-hmm. So we cook in front of them. We show my son how to cook if he had to use a microwave. We just pretty much prepared him and try to prepare him for any dangers. If we had to leave him in the house, you know, we have a passcode. You know, he had to say a code in order to let people in. So we trained him pretty well. I mean, if you have really good, responsible parents, I think that if it was an emergency or something like that, you could leave your kid at home at 8 years old.
Okay. Sounds good to me, Garner. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about home alone. Do you trust that your children will behave and that they will be responsible if you have to leave them at home? Like to hear from some parents tonight what you're doing to make sure that your kids are safe when they're home alone and that you have peace of mind. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Keith calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Keith. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hey,
I'm
doing just fine.
Talking with you again, my friend. I like this topic that you're having today in regards to kids being left alone at home.
And turn your radio down for me, Keith, but go right ahead, please.
I think due to the fact that we are in a different era with kids' ages and what's going on and so forth, me, myself, I would say at the age of 16, having known that you must give your kids all of the understanding of what they need to be aware of, things that are going on, and the school can play a big role in you getting to know what your kids will do away from home when they're at school, how they're interacting with teachers and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think we may have had a problem with that line, but Keith, you make an interesting point about paying attention to your children 365 days a year, whether it's school, whether it's church, whether it's camp or anything else, giving you an idea. I want to go back to one of those unfortunate home alone disasters that we played earlier. Here's the next one. You want to listen to this.
I took my mother's car going to the on a boat ride down in Southwest. Me and my girlfriends, the boat was getting ready to pull off, so we rushed. Why did I leave the car running the whole time? We got back, the police was there, my mother was there.
Oh, the first time I was left alone was, I believe I was 7 or 8 years old, and I accidentally lit a roll of paper towels on fire, and then I had to quickly pick up the roll of paper towels and run it into the nearest bathroom. And whole time, my hands were just burning on fire. But I knew that if I burned the house down, my mother would probably warm that ass.
Yeah.
Something else was going to be on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, Charlotte, you have a basketball team plus.
And two subs.
And two subs. Does it help that you have, how old is your oldest?
14.
14. Okay. So that's the big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Does it help that he is kind of in a leadership position? Can he lead by example, showing the others?
Yes, he can. So my children, I'm so blessed because they really are responsible, but understand my son is a 14-year-old boy. Now my daughter is a 13-year-old girl, and there's a different maturity level between the two of them. I can trust for both of them to be in charge at home, but they have to have different things that they're assigned to do. Just because my son is a boy and he can just really do some really dumb 14-year-old boy things, you know, and it's not that I don't trust him, but it's just that I know that my daughter, my 13-year-old, she's just much more responsible than he is most of the time. And it's just, I mean, I just chalk it up to him being 14 and hormones and maturity levels and things of that nature. But I know, you know, I know what he can do and I know what he can't do. I know what she can do and I know what she can't do when it comes to our children. But can I just go back to one thing that Mr. Garner said?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talking about having a code. And I think that one thing that is really wise for you to do, for parents to do, and it doesn't matter whether your children are latchkey or not, But knowing that your children, if you may have latchkey children, and knowing that people are watchers, they watch what your children are doing. You know, they watch their environment or whatever. And so you don't know who's watching your children come home by themselves. And so I think that it is very, very, very important for you to have a family code word with your children, because if somebody were to ever call your house or come to the door and say, oh, there's an emergency with your mom or dad, that they are never to open that door or leave without them knowing the code word.
A very, very, very a good idea. I want to go back to you, Dr. Corder, in just a bit, but I want to grab a real quick phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Will, calling from Dallas. Thanks for calling, Will. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, how you doing? This is Will by way of Laurel, Maryland, Harold.
Okay.
No matter how old your kids get, no matter how you trust them, they're not going to do some of the major things they know that you're worried about. But believe me, there's things that they're going to do in that house. It's just a matter of when you catch them.
You know, okay, but then, Will, I've got to take a break, but you make a really interesting point right then and there, and I want to have my guests respond to that in just a bit. But thank you so much for calling. We are taking more of your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Home alone, do you trust your children when you have to leave them home by themselves? Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of these phone calls in just a bit. We'll be back in a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about latchkey kids, leaving your children home alone. Do you trust them when you have to leave them home alone? My guests are Charlotte Avery. She is a mom and mother of seven children, and Dr. Marilyn McPherson Corder, pediatrician and professor at Howard University School of Medicine. Lines are still open. We are still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jensen calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Jensen. What's on your mind?
I just want to let you know, I'm a former latchkey kid, but I was a military brat, so the fear of mother was put in me. But one thing you got to know with your kids, even though you trust them, you got to let them know the truth. Kids these days befriend people that they play ball with and so forth, and they bring them in the house. But let them know that most of the time when your house gets broken into, it's by somebody you know. Mm-hmm. So they really have to watch them with that, because kids are going to bring somebody because they're proud of their house. They want to show off or what have you. But you can't trust let them know you can't trust everybody that's following you is not your friend.
Interesting. Right. Well said. Right. Dr. Corder, talk to me a little bit more about something that Charlotte mentioned earlier. And I think this is a really critical piece. And I don't think we need to scare parents, but they do need to be aware that even as you let them kind of spread their wings, that they need to be aware that somebody's always watching you. So they could be watching your child.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what you need to know, there are a lot of predators out there. There are a lot of folks who will prey on your children. Mm-hmm. Not prey A-Y, but prey E-Y. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, grown-ups don't see it sometimes. So we know that children are just going to be, you know, everything is fine and trusting too much. And as the former caller just said, you know, we figure everybody's sometimes at that age, they're your friend, but you need to have them put guards up, mm-hmm. because psychologically they may not be as protective, and you don't want to completely scare them like, oh my goodness, the boogeyman and this person and that person, you know, is out to get you. But you want to have them be very socially aware of the dangers from folks asking them, even with the neighbors or you know, when is your mother coming home? Different questions mm-hmm. and different things that are uncomfortable and conversations that make them very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. No matter what gender the person is.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and see, Dr. Corder, here's my concern. My daughter is a young, very young woman. I mean, she's 20, but mm-hmm. she's responsible, but she loves television. How do you get your children, whether they are teenagers or what have you, even if you believe they're responsible, how do you get them to focus and not get distracted? Because I think that's the thing that really causes problems.
And impulsivity. So you give them a schedule, just like we have a work schedule or whatever. Mm-hmm. You give them, you know, the wipe down board and you say 9 o'clock, you're up by then, stop laying in the bed till noon. This is the things you do as you already have the food prepared, but you give them a schedule, like a work schedule. As right. they check off on the schedule, it doesn't have to be big chores, mm-hmm. but things that they need to do. Giving them responsibility as well as checking in, sitting there idly looking at whatever to me is wasteful time. If they have, even if it's summertime, they can have academic work, read a book. They don't have to have a lesson plan from the school. There are things that you may want them to read and report when you get home what they did. But one thing before I forget, social media, we have to be very careful of mm-hmm. what's going on, what your children are exposed to, who they're talking to.
That's
because
right.
I just had so many cases so recently of 14, 15-year-old girls who are talking to 20, 25-year-old men mm-hmm. and letting them in the house, even when some of the parents are home. I've had parents wake up and see a grown man in their house with mm-hmm. the young lady in her bedroom. So we have to know that that's enticing. It's, they like attention, mm-hmm. but they need to make sure that the attention that they're seeking is not endangering them and the rest of the family members.
And to that point, just a month or so ago, even here in Prince George's County, we had a police officer who met a young girl on social media, and she was underage. She let him in the house. He was arrested, and certainly he is now awaiting trial.
That's not uncommon.
But that's exactly the kind of things that you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
And speaking of social media and technology, Charlotte, and I suspect because you do have young children that this mm-hmm. is something that you are at least aware of. How do you handle some of the technology tricks, for example, that may give you the impression that the kids are home when they're really not?
Oh my goodness. So first of all, I just want to say one thing. I was kind of laughing when I heard Dr.
Corder.
Corder, mm-hmm. because, you know, in our house, when she was talking, when you asked about distractions, about TV and everything, you know, I wish my children could have heard her because, you know, right now my children have 1 week without technology.
Mm.
They have they can't use their iPads, no Kindles, they can't
Excellent.
Watch TV or anything. The only thing, because we like to dance in our kitchen, so we'll just, you know, turn on the music to dance. But they, I mean, and so right now, I mean, they're like on, this is Wednesday, so this is day three. And they're like freaking out, but they've been so productive, you know?
Right.
And then the other thing, too, is we have a technology schedule. Like, everything in my house is scheduled. So we have a daily schedule, a snack schedule, and a technology schedule. And so they're literally, like, our older children, they're only allowed to be on their technology an hour and a half every single day.
Mm.
An hour and a half. And so it doesn't matter. Like, if they get on there, when the first time that they get on there, I start clocking them, and they have an hour and a half all day long. And it doesn't matter if somebody FaceTimes them. It doesn't matter. I don't care what time it is. And then they have to check their technology into me in the technology basket before they go to bed.
But what about when, and some of your children are obviously very young,
mm-hmm.
and so I know they are not out of the sight of Big Mama.
Mm-hmm.
But for the older ones, those that are growing and again spreading their wings, mm-hmm. have you had that technology conversation with them as far as don't try to fool Mom and Dad with?
Absolutely.
And how does that conversation go?
Well, you know, my two older children have iPods. They don't have iPhones because I am the phone, so they don't need that. But anyway, I let them know what they can be on and what they can't be on. You know, they have, you know, my daughter was once on this app called Musical.ly or whatever, but when I found out, you know, how predators were getting in and seeing children and things like that, I made her take it off. So they can have, there's no app that they're even allowed to have on their phone, and they don't even know that I know about the apps that are like ghost apps that try to hide the apps that you have on your phone so your parents can't see them.
Mm.
You know, and so then too, because they have to check in their technology at the end of the night, I do a sweep. Me and my husband, because my husband is very tech savvy, we sweep their technology.
Wow.
To see where they've been. We go through their history and everything to see where they've been, who they've been talking to, and everything. Absolutely.
Wow.
And there's no app that they can have on their phone. They can't have Instagram. I mean, my kids, and they ask me, I said, can I have it? No, you cannot.
Good. Wow. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Home Alone, modern latchkey kids. How do you trust your children when you have to leave them alone? Let's talk to Jay. Jay calling from D.C. Jay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was just going to say, I was a latchkey kid growing up. I can remember growing up in Southeast D.C., you know, being 5 years old, coming home in the first grade with the key around my neck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, flash forward to my kids, you know, my wife and I, we have three kids, and fortunately enough, you know, just through other options, you know, after school programs, daycare, you know, things of that sort, we haven't had to put them in a situation, you know, being that young, being alone. But, you know, over the years, when my daughter became around 11 or 12, we did start, you know, leaving them, you know, at home alone. But we kind of did it in chunks. And so, you know, we may start it out, you know, okay, well, let's just run down the street to the store, you know, and see how they'll do, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then we would build it up, you know, okay, well, let's make a grocery store run or a Costco run, you know, and if, you know, they can survive for an hour, okay, cool. And then maybe, you know, okay, well, let's try the movies. So we were up to 2 hours. And then eventually, you know, we got to the point where we could leave them throughout the day. But, you know, one of your panelists had mentioned rules, and we have, you know, definite rules. So when they're home alone, they know it's no cooking. There's no, you know, touching anything that can produce a fire, you know. And then this may sound crazy, too. We have a pretty, you know, nice-sized house. And so on our first floor, you know, you can pretty much look in there, right, if it's ground level. So when we're not at home, we tell them, hey, you know, there's no playing on the first floor. You either upstairs in your room or maybe in the basement, but, you know, somewhere where no one looking in the home can just see you there. And then, you know, or maybe we'll leave a car in the driveway or something. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are things that we're doing.
That's right.
You know, and the kids know, hey, if somebody rings the doorbell, I don't care if it's your uncle, your grandmother, you don't answer that door no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then, you know, you all test upon technology, right? So with iPhones, you have that track your iPhone. You know, there are times that, hey, you know, I'll just, you know, throughout the day, periodically, just check and just see, hey, where's my daughter?
Right.
You know, I won't ping her, but, you know, at least I know where she is and what's going on.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jay, I think you and your wife have it all squared away. So
you're doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to go back to the Home Alone disasters. Just a little something else for you to think about.
So one day, I invited a girl over.
Uh-oh.
And I wasn't thinking right. And my uncle came home and called us. And he called the police on us.
But my brother, who is older than I, he always used to trick me into doing things. And so he tricked me into putting the bobby pin in the electric socket. And I got shocked.
Wow. I don't know which is worse, calling the police in this day and age, Dr. Corder.
And you know, one of the things I always tell the parents, come home when you're not expected to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And you might see some things or learn a few things, because many children will tell you, as we all were young once, I know when mom and dad's coming home. So in my case, we have to clean the house up, you know. But there are other times when, you know, you may not be doing what you're supposed to do. And as soon as they come home, you're reading a book, but you didn't read it all day. So, but just pop in, because now there could be people in your home and your child may not be home alone. So trust, but verify.
Right. And I think one of the things that helps with that, and Dr. Corder, you and I were talking about this before the program, is many, many homes have security systems, and they have, I have one at my home, motion sensor camera. So when the mailman walks on the porch, there is, I can see the video.
Right.
If if a cat gets into the backyard mm-hmm. and trips off the motion sensor, I can see that video. And so I know who is coming in the house or coming to the house, I should say, mm-hmm. and who is trying to come in the house. I also have a camera in the house, but I've said, to my daughter, I'm not going to be spying on you or anything like that, but also know that that camera on the first floor mm-hmm. can see. So if you're in there jumping up and down and my neighbor calls me and says there's noise at your house, I can see who's jumping up and down watching the soap operas or whatever.
So I think that's great.
But here's the other thing. And we can talk a little bit more about this on the other side. Mm-hmm. The reality is, Charlotte, that there are many parents that must leave their children home mm-hmm. alone, particularly during the summer. Mm-hmm. What should they do? I want you to think about that as we go to the break, and we'll talk about that on the other side, keeping them occupied. Lines are still open, by the way, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Modern Latchkey Kids, how can you trust your children if you have to leave them home alone? Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about modern latchkey kids. How can you trust them when you must leave them home alone? My guests are Charlotte Avery, mom strategist and mother of seven, and Dr. Marilyn McPherson-Corder, pediatrician and professor at the Howard University School of Medicine. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Charlotte, for the summer months when school is out, what can you do to make sure that your children stay occupied, particularly if you are in a household of working parents?
Okay, so let me just say this. You know, I mean, Harold, you know that I'm the family strategist with a PhD in motherhood. Okay, but you know what? I was also a latchkey kid. Mm-hmm. Because my parents got divorced and I was 8 years old. And, you know, now that summer is in, you know, I think that summer is always a good time. First of all, your kids grow the most when it's summertime and if they're resting. Because, you know, I always tell my children, you have to have a nap because you have to grow. But this is the thing. Summer is also a great time to keep their brains really, really active. And one thing that I like to do, and I even do this with my children, now I'm home with them, but when I'm not here, they still have these things to do. So I've gotten them age-appropriate workbooks from the teacher store that keep them, you know, that keep them working on math and English and things like that. So, you know, you can schedule your child's day. Like, even if you can't mm-hmm. be at home with your child, so, you can schedule their day and post their schedule. And it goes back to trust and reliance, right? And then know that you posted a schedule and they know what it is that they're supposed to do throughout the course of the day. You can give them learning things. You can give them art things. You can give them all kinds of projects. And then, of course, you know, there are wonderful chores that they can do. And so they need
wonderful, wonderful chores. That sounds like an oxymoron.
Well,
wonderful
chores. You know, I believe
chores.
The teamwork makes the dream work. So I believe if somebody's going to be home, you give your children age-appropriate chores that they can do so that when you get home, I mean, because, you know, when you give your kids chores and they do what they're supposed to do,
you reward them.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And
that's
then it
right.
goes back to another R. You reward them
right.
for being responsible and doing what it is that you told them to do. And then that helps to build the trust. It helps to build the responsibility. It helps to build, you know, character in your children so that you're raising your children to be great community citizens that are concerned about themselves and considerate of others, too.
So with that said, Dr. Corder, what if you have a child who isn't responsible, who messes up, but you have to leave them home alone? They messed up, whether they had, you know, girls in the house, or they burned something while you were away, I'm sure that leaves you with a great deal of trepidation, but you still have to go back to work.
Well, one of the things that I have suggested over the course of years in practice for summer, prior to summer, I asked the parents, what's the plan? There were 12 weeks of summer. And then I say, okay, now, what does he like to do? Can he volunteer at this person's office or that person's workplace and that person? Because they can always volunteer 12, 13 years old. They don't have to be getting a job because they can't yet for money. But for experience, that goes on their resume, that helps them with the volunteer hours, and it also is some supervision. So that's one thing, even if they're not in a formal camp as a junior counselor. But an academic thing, going back to what Charlotte said, you know, try to map out what they can do for free, what doesn't cost you, because many people, you know, have financial burdens. If we're talking baseball camp, tennis camp, dance camp, they're expensive. You know, going to Orlando, going to grandparents' house, etc. So I say you can do it on a shoestring budget, but you have to be proactive. You have to organize it, and you have to make sure it's prior to June 13th. It's already planned out, and that's so very important.
And you know what? Here's another thing that you can do, because, you know, I think at 13 years old, kids can start babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, they
can. So there are some moms who, you know, may not be able to, you know, afford, you know, child care, but your kids can learn CPR and first aid, and there's babysitter, first aid, and CPR. Mm-hmm. And your kids that are old enough, you can, even if they're not at your house, they can go to somebody else's house and babysit somebody else's kids, and they can make some money.
And they'll be more responsible when they're watching somebody else's child.
That's
in general, because they have something to do.
That's right. Mm.
Well, Charlotte, now here's the other unspeakable that we're going to have to speak about. So your son is 14, and I'm sure, you know, I've seen the pictures. He's a looker, and I'm sure the girls are checking him out. So during this home alone, and it may not apply to you. You got six other pair of eyes there.
That's right, looking at it. They ain't going to happen to her.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. My kid's running packs.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
Yes.
Open reporters.
But I'm sure you still had the conversation with him.
But here's the thing I love about my son is that right now all he cares about is school and basketball. Like, he doesn't even care about girls right now. And I'm like, yes, this is wonderful, you know, because he doesn't. I mean, you know, and I know that, you know, because he's a great athlete and, you know, girls are eyeballing him, but he doesn't even care. He's like, whatever. And, you know, and then his sister, who's 13 years old, because, you know, they're only like 13 and a half months apart, but they have each other's back. So if my daughter sees some girl checking out her brother or vice versa, she's like, get the heck out of here. Don't be looking at my brother. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that he doesn't even know that these girls are checking him out because he doesn't even care about them right now. And I'm like, that is so dope. That is like the best thing in life.
Okay, well, just...
That's not the typical.
That's
good for you.
What have you said to the parents of your patients, Dr. Corder, about that very same issue? Because Charlotte's son is 14... And if not this summer, this fall,
well,
I know.
Well,
things going to change.
I know,
and it's so and unfortunately, versus yesteryear, many children are sexually active by 12 or 13 years of age, and it's like no big deal. And they're offering their body parts everywhere. And I tell in my practice, my patients, my parents know that I can talk to their children alone, and I do that. And I hear things, and then I say to them, I know, you know, they'll tell me what's happening in the stairwells, they'll tell me what's happening in the cars, in the movie theaters, but I tell them, you know, this is something that is for grown-ups. It's not for your age group, and it's very many consequences, not just pregnancy, but STDs, et cetera, that some of them are there for life. And we talk about it, and it's important for the parents to talk about it as well, because where years ago we worried about the girls being, you know, bothered. Well, there are quite a few young ladies who are very forward.
Oh, aggressive girls.
Who are off for the world, and it's certainly important. One thing before, what else I want to make sure that we talk about is substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And not just alcohol drinking, but drugs. And that starts now on an average of 12 to 13 years old when you do the surveys of who's really beginning to use substance. And we need to make sure that parents are aware of that. I do drug screens all the time in the office, but, you know, in terms of behavior, lack of academics, lack of, you know, good grades, don't want to be bothered. So just those are the signals, be it during the school year as well as not in the school year. Lastly, I want to tell the parents, prepare those out there, the grandparents, whoever the guardian is. Summertime, to me, is preparation for the school year.
Absolutely.
The things that you're doing, Charlotte, this what we did in my household, et cetera. Okay, school's out. Get your 1 or 2 weeks, but let's get back on the schedule. Academic camp, you know, partially academic part, athletic. But that's important to get back into gear because sooner or later school's going to start. And unfortunately, it takes 30 days for some children to realize school has started.
One of the other things, too, and I think this goes to older teenagers, you would be able to talk about this, I think, from experience, Dr. Corder, more than Charlotte, because her children are just right there. Right. But, and I said this to my daughter, because my daughter is in college, but she's living in my house, and we had a serious conversation, and I said, yes, I know that you're in college and you're in the dorms and the whole nine, but
when you're in my house,
when you're in this house, whatever, this is your home. This is not the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an adjustment.
Well, it is, but and to her credit, and I'm so blessed. All I got was a okay, Dad.
Right.
And it was fine.
Right.
But I think, Dr. Corder, for some parents, that is a bigger issue, particularly when you have older teenagers that may have already been off to college that first semester, that first year, and they're used to freedom.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you let them know, I understand what you did in college, but they're
or maybe
still
you don't
in my house.
Understand what
right,
they did.
Right, 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 right. But you may not be going back to school, but I'm academic.
Yeah.
But what you want to say is, I get that, and I know I was grown as a medical student, but when I was home, I knew my parents wanted to make sure that I came home before the dawn. You know, I'm grown, I'm in med school, you know, and we're about to even graduate, but there's a certain amount of respect that they still have to have for the household.
Absolutely.
For the parents. And no matter how grown they are, there's a certain amount of respect. And that relationship that, you know, what Charlotte said earlier, that relationship that you have with that child, they understand. Often, like your daughter said, okay, Dad, they already know. You know, they're not going to come in at 5 a.m. and look at you like, I'm grown, I'm in college. You know, they may come in a little later than what you want, but they're still going to show that respect. And you know, when they go off to college, they're going to be able to do the things. Independence would be there that they can't do when they're at home.
I've got about a minute or so left. Some final thoughts from you first, Charlotte.
So, you know, I think when it comes to your kids being responsible and things like that, you know, I always tell my children, you know, there are penalties and rewards for the decisions and the choices you make. And I've ingrained that into them since they were fresh out of the womb, basically. And so, you know, I think one reason why I'm able to really trust my kids is because they really are nervous and concerned about disappointing me and their dad and letting them down. And so I think if you start off on a good foot and you start training them, you know, young, and having crucial conversations with them when they're young, then I think it makes that plight, you know, you being, you know, the plight less painful later down the road.
Mm-hmm. Final thoughts from you, Dr. Corder.
Yes, I think that we have to understand, even though they're teenagers, they really need supervision and parenting. And we're 100% 24/7 parenting at all ages. And we have that responsibility. And stay woke. Be aware. And good luck and God bless.
Yes, absolutely. And I like the suggestion that you had, Dr. Corder, about finding them something to volunteer for, or as they get older, hey, get them a job, because that really forces them to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really is a great teacher of lessons. So I want to thank both of you, Charlotte Avery and Dr. Marilyn McPherson Corder, for sharing with us this evening. And no matter what age your children are, just keep on parenting. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Wednesday, July 11th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.